Well, good evening. Greet you in Jesus' name again this evening. I enjoyed that devotions. And if you're like me, you thought that that beggar, if he had 2 rupees in his pocket, he should have offered one. Try one. That way he still has a little bit for his rice. That's what went through my mind. But if you're like me, sometimes we try that with Christ too. Let's just give him one and we'll keep one for myself. But as we heard tonight, that's not the way it works. Mastering communication, our theme for our topics this evening or this week is kingdom-focused living. And for those of you that weren't here last evening, we had a little introduction to this. But we have such a narrow view of life. There's so much that we can't even comprehend. And what we can comprehend, we don't even focus on a lot of times. Our focus is on the here and the now. And so the goal for this, for these topics, is a kingdom-focused living where we can take our focus off of the here and the now. The line between the two kingdoms, we take the focus off of that line and we focus on who God is and eternity. And how that shapes the decisions, the way we live our lives. And so this evening, mastering communication. What is communication? Communication is the imparting or interchange of thoughts, opinions, or information by speech, writing, or sign. And by sign, I mean signals we send to others through body language. We communicate in many different ways. A class on communication advertised this way. It's not just your words, it's your image and the way you are seen by others, your attitude, your posture, and the tone of voice all combine to communicate for you. And so we communicate this way. Now this evening, in our topic, we're going to be mostly talking about our speech, our words, I think is what we have in mind this evening. Now, mastering communication. Definition of mastering means to gain control of or overcome. So what does that mean, mastering communication? Does that mean if we have to gain control of or overcome our communication, does it mean that we have a tendency that our communication, the way we communicate, has a way of overcoming us if we don't watch it? Well, I think it's true, and we're going to look at that. And it can get out of control. And there's 2 reasons, I think, that will cause us to easily allow this thing of communication to overcome us. First of all, because we're all born with an evil nature. We have the evil nature within us. And it takes a crucifying every day of that evil nature, the old man. And we're going to look at that here in a little bit. But our human nature is bent towards evil. It's bent towards folly. It's bent towards those questionable or those dirty jokes. It's bent towards lying or twisting the truth. It's bent towards boasting. It's bent towards excessive talking sometimes for some of us. It's bent towards harsh words. It's bent towards deceitfulness. That's all within us. And that's one of the reasons why this thing of communication can easily overcome us. Because if we allow our human nature to take its course, we will find ourselves there. Another reason is that, because of this reason right here, we live as separated people among followers of Satan's kingdom. And I talked last evening, here we have the earth that is drawn, depicting the two kingdoms. And I said how maybe it would have been better to have the earth all one color with, say, all red that would show the Satan's kingdom with blotches of blue that would depict the kingdom of God. Because that's how it is. As God's children, we are a part of his kingdom, but we live among those that serve Satan. And we rub shoulders with people every day, whether it's at work or at the grocery store or wherever. We rub shoulders with people that are a part of the other kingdom, and that can rub off on us. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 here for the introduction. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I just want to think about this thought of being separated and different from those that we are around, those that serve in Satan's kingdom. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to start reading at verse 14. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." This is talking about separation. It's talking about coming out from among the evil, coming out from among Satan's kingdom, and being separated, and touch not the unclean thing. But I said that we rub shoulders every day. Some of you have construction or electricians, or you go to a job site where you're working all day with another crew is there, and you hear that music, you hear the language, and it's there, it's going in, and you hear that. And it's hard sometimes, but we need to be separated from that. If we don't make a conscious effort, we will get swept up in the folly of the world's way of communicating. The man that masters his speech, the Bible says in James 3, and you can turn with me to that as well, is a perfect man. He is as a perfect man. We only have 18 verses here. This chapter ties in so well with our topic here tonight. I struggle to know where to start and stop. I think we're just going to read the entire chapter. James chapter 3. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. And out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." A horse is controlled by a bit that is put in his mouth. The mighty horse. It's controlled by a little bit. The ship, these huge ships. If you've ever been out on a little boat and gotten close to one of those big barges, it seems so big. But those big ships controlled by just a little rudder. And it's amazing. But the tongue has a potential for great good or great damage. Just like that horse. If that horse does not have a bit in his mouth, it's a wild horse, it has the potential for great damage. But you put that bit in its mouth and you control it, it can do lots of good. Same with the ship. And the tongue has potential for great good or great damage. When it isn't bridled, it will quickly do great damage. But when we bridle our tongue, it can do wonderful things. The tongue is a two-sided sword. It has the potential to bless, and it has the potential to curse. It has the potential for evil as well as good. And it has the potential to heal and to encourage people and to tear them down. All out of the same mouth. And so I have a burden for this topic here tonight, because I know how quickly we can get swept up in the world's means of communicating. And it's very easy to allow the world's way of communication to come into our lives and to become a part of us. And I also know how quickly wrong communication, a wrong word, can so quickly cause much harm. And the Bible makes it very clear how quickly a single word can end a relationship. It can hurt, it can kill. So we want to look at the foundation as well as some principles from the Bible and communication. And this is a huge subject. I struggled a little bit knowing where all to go with it. But I'm going to start with the foundation. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. The chapter that we read in James talked about it as well. But Hebrews chapter 4, starting at verse 22. And if we want to master communication, it needs to begin with a new man. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. We'll stop reading there. So we see at verse 25, he says, wherefore, putting away lying. It's a verse that is talking about our speech, our communication, starts out with wherefore. So we back up, and he's talking about this renewed mind. And here's the foundation that we have. The new man that he talks about is talking about being born again. And Nicodemus asked Jesus, how can a man be born again? He comes to Jesus and says, what must I do to be saved? And Jesus says, you must be born again. He says, well, how can that be? And so Jesus explained to him what it means to be born again and the process that must happen. And when we are born again, you find in John chapter 3 where Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus how to become born again. And when we are born again is when we pass from one kingdom into the other kingdom. We take the bridge across that cross, and we pass from the old man, being controlled by the old man, being controlled by the devil, being controlled by our feelings, by hatred, and allowing those things to well up within us and coming out of our mouths. We go from that to being controlled by the Holy Spirit. We become a new man. We crucify the flesh. And the Holy Spirit guides us in a more perfect way. But as long as we are in these earthly bodies, there's going to be a civil war within us. We're going to be fighting that. We're going to be fighting that old man and the new man. The flesh will want to boast. The flesh will want to stretch the truth to make us look better. The flesh will want to pass on juicy information that you think is going to make you look good. The flesh is going to tell that questionable joke that the guy in the job site told you. The flesh is going to want to tell a little bitty white lie. But the Holy Spirit will guide us into a more perfect way, because we come out of one life into the other. And that is the foundation of mastering communication. It's the only way that we can master communication. James made it very clear. No man can tame the tongue. It's nothing that we can tame. It's only when we are born again and we become a new man. I'll look at a few things that these verses talk about here in Ephesians that we just read. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, always tell the truth. Wherefore, putting away lying. Did you lie today? Did you tell a lie this week at all? Did you tell an untruth? A lie is an intent to deceive. And I know that, again, when you have a group this size, there's a wide range of people and how sensitive our consciences are. And I know there's people who struggle with telling the exact, you know, someone asks what time it is and they tell them it's 10 o'clock and, well, but it was actually 9:58. And people struggle with that. And that's a real struggle. And I'm not here to make anyone feel bad if you struggle with those things. But what I want you to understand that a lie is an intent to deceive. If you intend to deceive someone, we may be tempted to tell an outright lie to someone at times. But I think maybe we face some of these other things that we're going to look at. A lie also includes what we call a white lie. We call them white lies, where it's maybe just a little bit of an untruth. It's not really a lie, at least we try to tell ourselves that it's not really a lie, but it is. A white lie is a lie that is used for the interest of tact, politeness, or gain. That's what the dictionary will tell you. It's a lie that is used for the interest of tact, politeness, or gain, allowing people to think something other than the truth without correcting them. And there's many different situations that we face this, but we do this sometimes to save our face, to make us look good. Sometimes when we are selling something, we hold back some of the truth and we just kind of ignore some of the problems that this vehicle has, and we lie about it. We intend to deceive them. Lying includes exaggeration. And of course, that we're not talking about fishing and hunting stories. We're talking about other things. But lying includes exaggeration. And it does include fishing and hunting stories. I know that's just a small example. But again, we do these things. If it's going to make us look better, then we'll exaggerate to make it look better. If we were, should have thought of an example ahead of time, but if we were, say, in an accident or something, we had a wild ride or jumped in a taxi and the taxi was weaving all the road, and we're telling a story about something that happened to us. Did you ever exaggerate a little bit just to make it sound really good and to lying includes exaggeration. The Bible speaks a lot about lying. It is listed among the things that God hates. Proverbs chapter 6. Let's turn to that. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 16. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. It is listed. If God hates it, and we don't want any part of it. Colossians 3, verses 8 through 10 says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man." Again, here it comes again. We're talking about the old man. Putting off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. I should have told you to keep your fingers in Ephesians, because I want to go back to that chapter. Ephesians chapter 4, I want to look at another verse there. Verse 29, no corrupt communication. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. What is this talking about? Well, this word corrupt has the idea of decayed, rotten, useless. Could be like a tree that is dying, or maybe a fruit tree that is not producing any fruit. Did you ever say something that didn't really hurt anyone? It wasn't really filthy or impure, but it didn't have any value. Some of us struggle with this more than others. We like to talk more than others, and sometimes we catch ourselves saying things that really aren't of any value. We need to stop and think about, what are we saying? How much am I talking? Matthew 12:36 says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." We will give an account someday for every useless word that we use. That word idle there means inactive, unemployed, or barren. Just useless. Plain down useless. The Bible talks more about our speech being edifying one another. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Again, it starts in our hearts. So we need to ask ourselves if what we are saying, is it benefiting? Is it encouraging? Is it the listener, is it tearing them down? Will it challenge them to a closer walk with God? Or will it tempt them and do just the opposite? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We need to use our speech to encourage each other, to help each other. Going back to our chapter here in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, we need to speak in love. "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted." Speak in love. Let all bitterness and wrath, evil speaking, means talk that will hurt someone, talking that will damage someone. And this is easy to do, especially when there's feelings involved, especially when there's hard feelings, we get bitter against someone, it's easy to have evil speaking. But in verse 32, it says, "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another." And we have evil feelings towards each other, when we have bitterness towards each other, we need to forgive if we want to master communication. We can hurt people through spreading stories about other people, whether it's true or untrue. And so we need to be careful spreading stories. Is it going to hurt anyone? Is it necessary? There's a quote that I came across said, "Be careful with your words. Once they are said, they can only be forgiven, not forgotten." Once a word comes out of your mouth, it cannot be forgotten, only forgiven. And so if I hurt you, or you hurt me with words, we can't forget that, but we can forgive it. We read James chapter 3 before, and it talked there about a words being like a spark. And a spark seems like such a small thing. But I remember, I think it was 2 years ago, I was headed up the interstate, and it was probably this time of the year, I don't remember, but I know it was hot and it was dry. And the grass beside the interstate was brown, and I was heading up through, and I saw some people pulled over, and there was a little fire going there, and they were trying to stamp it out. Went up a little further, there's another fire, and people were stamping that one out, and kept going up through, and soon I got to one, there was a fire burning, there was no one stamping it out, so I pulled over, and I started stamping that one out, and I still don't know what it was, but there must have been a truck or something with little sparks coming out the exhaust that was lighting these fires. Just a little spark. Out west, they have these great forest fires that will cause millions of dollars of damage. Sometimes that's just from a little spark. A little spark can do a lot of damage. And one word is like that little spark. That little spark can grow, it can fester, and it can grow until it causes a lot of damage. But how hard is it to speak a word? How hard is it to say something mean, to say something spiteful to someone because of bitterness in your heart, because of hatred, because of you're just irritated? And you say that word, it just comes out so easy. But it's like a spark. So we need to keep in mind that what we so easily say can affect others. In chapter 5, it talks about filthy talking. I'm not going to talk much about this. We talked a little bit about being on the job site, hearing the other crews talking. But talk that just simply shouldn't be coming out of a Christian's mouth. Filthy talking. Talk that is morally wrong or questionable. Talk that has a sexual slant to it. Talk that maybe has a double meaning to it. You say something, but you know it has a two-sided meaning to it. And if you look at this passage here in chapter 5, it is listed right among these other sins, such as fornication and uncleanness, covetousness. It says, "Let it not be once named among you as become a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting." Let it not be named among us. And it's so serious because what comes out of the mouth comes from within. So if there is filthy things that are within, that's what's going to come out. Because that's what's within. We could talk about gossip tonight. We talked about things that are just plain down useless. And we talked about things that can hurt others. Sometimes gossip doesn't hurt anyone, but is it necessary? Neither of those things are right. And you know, the funny thing about gossip is we would probably all agree that gossip is wrong, but we probably have all done it. And the funny thing is that we fool ourselves in thinking that we aren't really gossiping because we're just telling one person at a time. And we're talking, and we're not even talking about that, but it comes up in the conversation, and so we tell them what we know about it, and then you talk to the next person, you tell them what they, and you hear what they know, and then that gives you more things to talk about. And is it necessary? We need to think about what we are passing on. And I know it's good for us to, we spread prayer requests, and that's, those things are all good. The Bible speaks about talebearing and meddling into others' business. Proverbs 26:22 says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." Proverbs 16:28, "A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends." And Proverbs 26:20, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out." So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Someone asks you something, when we pass along something, are we adding wood to the fire, or are we starving the fire? Are we stumping the fire out? Well, in closing, I read this verse at the closing of last evening, Philippians 4:8. "Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." And I said last night, text these things, communicate these things. You could put that word think, change that to communicate these things. But really, that word think does apply, because what we communicate comes from within. And I'm going to read a paragraph from a booklet. I'm not sure who wrote it, but it came from the PMC publication, Separated from the World Unto God, that I liked. It said, "Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Our true character is revealed to others by what we say. Our attitude about God, about life, about others, and about ourselves are put on display by our speech. Our thoughts find expression through words. It is impossible for it to be otherwise. By listening to us, others discover the depth or shallowness of our character. They form judgments accordingly. Sound speech issues forth from a sound heart. A sound heart is one which fears God and orders its conduct according to godly principles. A sound heart is separated from the world unto God. In contrast, an unsound heart, full of the corruption of this world, issues forth corruptions out of the mouth. An unsound heart is unregenerate, and can only be expected to speak thus." So we come back to that foundation. Turn with me yet one last passage to Matthew chapter 5. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 15. Here we have the story where the disciples transgressed the tradition of the elders. They did not wash their hands before they ate bread, and the Pharisees came to Jesus and trying to trap him, and they saying, "Why aren't your disciples washing their hands?" And Jesus tells them, he talks to them there in verse 3, but he explains it more in verse 16. "And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with an unwashed hands defileth not a man." And Jesus makes it very clear, and it's a very clear picture. He says, what goes into the mouth just passes through the belly and on out through. But he said, what comes out of the mouth is what defiles a man, because it comes from the heart. And so the question is tonight, what are we feeding on? What are you feeding your minds? What are you feeding your heart? Are you feeding on things that are part of the kingdom of God? Or are you feeding on things that are part of the kingdom of Satan? What music do you have in your car? What do you listen to? What do you watch? What is it feeding? Because what you're feeding, what goes in through our ears and through our eyes, that's what comes out, and that's what defiles us. And if you want to know where your heart is, just start listening to yourself talk, because that reveals our hearts. And so may we, as we think about our speech, as we think about the way we communicate, may we step back and not focus, keep a narrow focus on that line and say, what can I get away with? But we step back and say, you know what? I need to be separated. I need to be different because of who God is and because of who I am serving Him. I'm no longer serving self. I should no longer be feeding the flesh, but I should be being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And we step back and we look at that picture and we realize that what we feed our minds, what we talk about, what we think about, makes a difference in eternity, not just here today. May the Lord bless you.